Into the freaking garbage.
You see that crap? All that horror crap? Things coming out of crates, eating people, dead people coming back to life, people turning into weeds, for Christ's sake. I never saw such rotten crap in my life. Where do you get this shit? Who sells it to you? All that horror crap?
Hello and welcome to this very special episode of DWN Productions THC podcast, sponsored by Fast Custom Shirts here at boygob.com or the YouTube page, which just notified me that we were live. If you search Boygob at YouTube, we'll pop up. Or you can search Fancy Dan, and who knows what the fuck you'll get. Half of the shit probably won't even be Spider-Man. But you can always go to the Facebook page. That's DWN Productions Terrible Horror Crap Podcast on Facebook. And like I said before, the tried and true, boygob.com. Joe, your week. You had one. How the fuck was it?
Is... busy, I guess, but busy, and I still came home early every day, or early for me, but that's because it was cold, you know, and I don't like working in that cold shop, so I came home, but I can't do that this week. I've got to stay there and face the cold and get some shit done, but hey, at least I have shit to get done, right?
That's right, Joe. That's right.
Yeah.
So how'd that Sharon go? Pretty good.
Sharon, who's she?
You know, maybe say it with a G. That Garen. Sharon G.
Oh yeah, it's good. It's good. We're out there. We're sharing the chat should be filling up anytime soon now, unless everybody's real sad, you know. But we'll get to that. Tom, how about your week? How did that go?
It was another one. I got three props done, the last of the Black Friday orders, and something just wasn't seeming right about it. I said, fuck it, they're done. Then I'm packing them up, and as soon as I put it in the box and I see it go down, like we're staring each other in the eyes, I said, oh, motherfucker, painted the eyes the wrong color. So I had fucking three of these pieces. I had to go back and repaint the fucking eyes on. So, but it's officially done now. All the Black Friday orders are out and shit. Thanks. I think you guys would appreciate me making the stuff look like what you were supposed to get. So that's why it took a couple extra days to ship out.
All right. Yeah.
What else? Joe, we lost another one from Dirty Work.
We did.
Can you believe it's not already laying?
This is crazy. Well, once we had lost Jack Warden, the main one was gone. But I know you were a big fan of Bob Saget. I personally wasn't. His just stand up shit didn't do anything for me. Of course, I didn't like Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos. That was a standard in my house. My mom fucking loved that shit. You know, people falling down and stuff. You know, she would crack up with that. So that was, what did they show? They showed that thing, what, like 8 nights a week or something? Who fucking
knows? I mean, it made syndication for sure.
Yeah.
But Joe, not only did your mom love that show, but America loved that show.
Yeah, I guess so, man.
It was what you would call America's show, mm-hmm. because the show was America.
Yeah. Who took over that shit after him? Mario Lopez, probably. He takes over everything, right?
No, it was somebody. I don't think it was Carlin yet from Fresh Prince or Carlton. I think there was one in between him and Saget. I think. Not often. Yeah, that was out of the blue. That sucks. His shit on the Aristocrats was all right. I mean, his stand-up does get played out after a while, but I do like saying swear words and vulgar shit.
Aristocrats is where they're just talking about that one joke, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That was okay. I got it somewhere. I'll sell it. Featuring Bob Saget.
And then he had another one that he directed called Farce of the Penguins. Have you heard of this?
I haven't, but it's a, I'm guessing a parody of March of the Penguins.
Yeah, it came out like maybe 8 years or so after March of the Penguins. All the hype for that already died down. And it was just a bunch of stock footage of penguins. With voiceovers from people you may or may not know, like Bob Saget and Louis Black. And I think your boy, Wanda Sykes, might be in it, but I'm not sure.
Maybe. That dude's in everything. But yeah. Jesse says it was a random white guy that took over after him. So I'm thinking it was the other guy from Full House.
Comet the Dog.
Maybe, yeah. I don't remember that other guy's name anyway, but he might still be alive.
I think it was Jesse Smollett.
Yeah, there you go.
I think. He poured bleach on me. I go get sandwich and he poured bleach on me.
They were wearing DWN hats.
Get done whacking each other off, so I have this plan. Listen, you ever heard of bleach?
Shit. Bleach isn't good for anything unless you got a drug test, you know. Then that's fine.
Well, I mean, bleach is all right for drinking and not killing yourself, going back to dirty work. Artie Lang fucking drank a bunch of bleach and then stabbed himself in the stomach a bunch of times trying to kill himself. He's still there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that.
I'm not telling you to drink bleach, but if you want to have a long life.
Yeah.
So, Joe. Pardon me. Watch anything?
I did, Tom. I watched quite a bit this week. As I said, I came home early and it's like, hey, I could put on a movie or two. So the first one I put on is one that you watched the week before. And you said you'd hold off on talking about it. And that is the Severin release of Alley Cat. Yeah, baby. Yeah, I'd seen this before a couple of times. They used to have it on YouTube. it was a Tuesday night trash thing that they played over at the Texas Theater. When it played there, I made a shirt for it. Didn't sell any when they were going into the theater. But when they were coming out, they bought that fucking shirt. Because this movie is great. This movie is fucking outstanding. It stays in the collection for sure. you were saying that this may be sold out already or something.
It's not.
It's not. Do yourself a favor. If it's not, fucking get yourself a copy because it's a lot of fun.
I'll say this. You should be all right to pick it up at the halfway to Friday sale on Vinegar Syndrome, not on Severin, even though you should go to Severin-Films.com.
Yeah, this is pick actually up their older Syndrome VRs that when you're right on that, if you got money. Yeah, this is about a chick that, man, she lives in a rough part of town, Tom.
She lives in like anywhere, like any, like a, this anywhere, fuck, good night, I'm done. Anywhere in the San Fernando Valley, just any one of those towns, that's where she is.
Any one of these towns, and you know what, you don't want to leave your car out there unguarded without a fucking
in your own system. Driveway.
In your own driveway, yeah. Some thugs will try to come and steal your tires, you know, but if you know karate, then you got nothing to worry about.
You're glancing over something. She just wakes up. She's sleeping on the sofa. And at, what are they called? A nightie or something like that? And then, oh, shit, that someone's fucking breaking into my car.
No, Tom, you're glancing over something. See, her neighbor calls her and says, hey, somebody's fucking stealing your tires.
That's right. But I was more thinking about how like this very small skinny woman takes off this fucking nightgown and then just giant tits fall out.
Her tits aren't skinny.
It's like, how the hell was she hiding those? All she was wearing was a fucking nightgown. And you have to double take for a second, like what?
Yeah, she is. Her looks are questionable. She's not ugly, but she's not a beauty queen either. I don't know. She's oddly attractive, is what I.
You know. Exotic.
Right, but then you know when she takes off that shirt, that seals the deal. Oh yeah, she's good looking. You know,
like it was. What? That's probably the most shocking thing in this movie. But this is a Filipino production shot in Los Angeles. So most of the people were like from the Philippines and they hired some locals. But I can't really find any information on this lady. And she wasn't interviewed for the Blu-ray or anything, so...
Yeah, I tried to look her up too and didn't find, but maybe she was like an extra in a couple other movies. But she produced this too. So she had a little bit of cash to throw around. It's not like this movie cost a whole lot. But
so in one of the interviews, the actors say that since this was a non-union thing and since they were in the union, they paid them, the people making the movie, the actors paid the people making the movie a few $100 to get executive producer credit because that was like a loophole in the Screen Actors Guild. Like you can do a non-union thing if you're producing it.
Okay. Loophole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fucking pricks.
Yeah, and that... A lot of the action scenes, and those are, you know, questionable to call them that. Of course, like her back is to the camera. You got somebody else doing the more fancy kicks, you know, the more technical.
Man, I would think it was her.
No, but there's some where, yeah, you clearly see her face and she is throwing some fucking pretty solid kicks and throwing some punch. So she had to have had some kind of training at some point.
They said in the interview where she, jumps off the picnic table in the park to stop one of the many rapes that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was actually her and she fucked up her arm or something and broke
yeah,
it.
Yeah, of course, that makes sense. This was actually her. Oh, she fucked it up. Okay. This movie portrays every man in LA as a rapist, which I believe, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I get that. You know, it's, you know, just hassling this jogger here. You know, hey, you know, let's go have lunch. No, okay, then I'm gonna rape you.
The only men who don't rape in this movie, no karate.
Yeah, I take it. It's funny. It's she goes to jail for a little while, and even the women are rapists or attempted rapists.
What was her name? Big Mama?
Yeah, something. Big Lula. Of course it was. Something like that. I don't know. She was part of GLOW. I think she died today. Matilda the Hun. That was her name. Go. Yeah.
Lesson empowerment. Big
Mama. Later, lady. We'll see you. Thanks for all you did for women. Or two women.
It took three midgets to operate that lady costume. So this is... It's not really a rape revenge movie, mm-mm, but it kind of is because they raped her property, and that's not cool. It's pretty much the guys in the beginning fucking who she beats up, they fucking go back, and they have a boss... But it's just like a street gang boss. It's not like a respectable job boss. So I don't know what they do for this guy, but there's, oh man, we got beat up by a girl. Well, hey, you fuck. We'll turn that tiger into an alley cat. We'll fucking get her and shit. So now it's just this guy's mission in life to get this questionable looking gentle lady.
And he, don't forget that he's fucking a chick that gave him the clap.
That dude, that shit made me pop. But she came out of the bathroom and she's like, you got it, dude.
And then he's still with her. Like later on in the movie, they're, you know, sunbathing on a rooftop and she's
if I already got it, I don't need to wrap it up, you fuck. And I think his name was Scarface because something he had like this that. Giant scar on his face.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not like a rape revenge movie, like Tom says, because it's really the guys, the rapists that are trying to get revenge because they didn't get to rape or get those tires. They do manage to stab her grandma, which was funny.
Thank God.
Holy shit, that was funny. Oh, yeah. I haven't checked to see if it's still on YouTube, because sometimes the shit comes out and it still stays there, you know, hidden or whatever. They'll name it something else. I'll look, but yeah, you should definitely watch this. This is, if you've never seen it, this is my third time seeing it. And really, it is. They did clean it up. It doesn't look great, but compared to what I'd seen before, it's quite an improvement, man.
I wouldn't say pay full price, because the full price on this is a little ridiculous for what it is, and having there only being two interviews on there that aren't that interesting, really.
Yeah, but, extras on that are kind of weird. I didn't bother watching them. You know, I'm not really interested in that. But the slip cover, one side of it is really nice, and the other side is just like, eh, kind of mediocre art. But they don't have the original cover art anywhere in this thing, right?
No, which that would sell the movie instead of this. I don't want to say cheap looking independent comic art.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The back of that looked horrible. I think I already put it away, but one side I thought had really, really good looking art, but no, it's not as good as, well, even the poster, it looks like before Photoshop, you know, when you had to cut them out, you know, and just paste them real carefully, you can tell it's done like that. Her and the two other guys in it, you can tell like they're just pasted on there, but you know, at least it's, you know, displaying like her racks on there. You know, this is what this movie's about, you know, and it's like, okay.
It was a fun one, and I think it's a sleeper in the Vinegar Syndrome catalog. I don't want to say it's a quote-unquote so bad it's good movie.
Nah.
Because it's actually, like, it's not bad. You know, it's not the best, but it's not what we'll get to in a minute. But this one's good. It's a good what I would call fucking Sunday afternoon movie. You're just sitting around during the day having a couple beers and you want to watch a movie.
Or yeah, if you're you know having a few beers with some friends, this is definitely a movie to, I think, watch and just laugh at. Yeah.
But I think our next one's a little more of that.
All right.
Where you should get all liquored up with buddies and watch it.
Go ahead and roll into that one, Tom.
All right, hold on.
I'm coughing it up right now, folks.
So would you recommend Alley Cat?
Fuck yeah, I would. I would definitely recommend. After you watch it, you might want to go to a certain website and go buy a shirt, you know, because... where else are you going to get an Alley Cat shirt? Nowhere.
FastCustomShirts.com.
Yeah, had it fucking on the site way before this shit was out.
Fuck this. All right, so, you ready to listen to the motherfucking tall man? He stood out there doing tall shit. So I stumbled upon a movie that I wish I would have seen a couple weeks ago, so it would make the best movies of 2021 list.
Is this a 2021 or is it a 2020?
It looks like it's a 1997 movie. But I assure you, it's a 2021 movie. Okay. Because this movie got some press on their local news affiliate.
Okay, because, yeah, I was just going to say, how did you fucking hear about this? I mean, you just stumbled across. How does one stumble across this movie, Tom? The movie we're talking about is The Towel Man. It's got a, as most high-quality films do... It has a scroll at the beginning telling you what's going on, introducing you to the movie.
Some real ass shit that happened. Motherfucker with a towel on his head. Called him the motherfucking towel man. He was raping bitches and shit. And they never caught. Hey, you know the towel man's still out there, right? Hard cut. Huh? What? Hard cut. Yeah, the towel man. Hard cut. Don't you know that they got him? Hard cut. Towel man's still out there. Holy shit, Joe. They do not make movies like this anymore. This is like impossible these days to make a movie this fucking bad. Somehow they did it. With all the technologies and editing softwares and what have you out now.
This was shot on an iPhone 6, and
I'm pretty sure this was shot on phones.
Yeah. Based on a true story, but Tom, tell them what this shit's about.
Oh shit! This is based on true events of. A dude who would wrap his head in a towel to where the towel would conveniently go around his mouth, so it'll open up a little bit like that when he talks. And then he's got two little slits cut in the towel where his eyes are so he can see and shit. And then he has a Michael Myers fucking jumpsuit on. And this fucking guy, he stalks the employees of a... beauty salon that's never open because they always shoot at night when the actual salon's closed and they can't use any of their lights because none of the actual lights in the beauty salon are ever on. And you can tell they're shooting at like fucking 10 at night, 2 in the morning. It's just very dark and very quiet out. So you fucking tell me, get some Joe. All of them.
Yeah.
There's
so
an offensive transgender character that's not one at all. It's just some dude with a beard and fucking eye makeup talking like this shit.
Well, I mean, that character, Tom, came off to me like he had a multiple personality disorder. Because at first he follows one of the girls home, and he's just, you know, very timid, and he's stuttering a lot, and he's like, I want to find the true me. And the next time we see him, he's all dressed up, you know, and he's like doing snapping, you know, when he's talking. He's, you know, he's saying he's in transition, you know. He makes use of the pronouns. So yeah, I guess this is a 2021 film.
But it looks so bad, dude.
It does. It looks horrible. And like Tom said, the towel man, he's a serial rapist is what they call him, but he's not. Either he has his clothes on the whole time, or the rape victims have their clothes on the whole time. So he is a serious guy.
I mean, these sloppy ladies, they don't really have their clothes on.
Yeah, you some know, of them, I wish they did have their clothes on.
You always know. Say, you know, if you're making a piece of shit horror movie, make sure you got the nudity and you got some big sloppy women in this movie.
They taught me a lesson. Like, be careful what you ask for. yeah, this is really rough, but it's got some funny shit in it, you know, which may or may not have been intended to be funny, but
no, I don't think so. And it looks like an older dude who made this movie. Like, I looked him up because I thought it was just like, you know, some kids making a movie. Nah, this dude's probably in his late 40s. That's not a joke. I'm just letting you know this was made by not a kid.
Yeah. Weird fucking movie. Definitely a unique find on your part. There's a funny fucking scene at the end after Towel Man, spoiler alert, is killed. There's a news reporter that's in a hotel room for some reason. Maybe she lives there. I don't know. But, she's getting ghost dry humped. And then towels start flying at her. And those towels flying at her just had me cracking the fuck up, man. That was some funny shit. But you also get some pretty good rap in there. DJ, whatever the fuck his name. No, it's not good at all. It's like, hey, you know, when I was having like some anxiety about the album we're putting out. Now I'm like, fuck. Yeah, this is going to fucking roll.
Well, let me ask you about the, hey, man, why don't you fuck my wife with me subplot?
That too. There's, yeah. Come on, I've seen the way you're looking at her ass. Yeah. And that went nowhere. But
they still brought it up a couple times. Yeah. Hey, man, you think about what we talked about yesterday? What was that? You fucking my wife.
Yeah, that is the owner, I guess, of the beauty salon. Her boyfriend has a job where they move empty boxes from place to place. I don't know. Hello, Christine. Thanks for joining us.
Was that the lady in the different colored girls just want to have fun shirt?
Funds. Girls just want to have funds. It's like, oh shit, why didn't I think of that shirt? God damn it.
Oh shit, this was good. Like, they just don't make them this piss poor anymore because of the technology is more advanced for independent filmmaking. Like, dude, the editing on this is just so bad.
It freezes a lot during the rape, the dry hump scenes. It'll freeze, and then, like you said, a hard cut. Maybe, like, you know, 2 seconds of blackness, and then...
It's good.
So, Tom, would recommend, would not recommend?
I would recommend for the acting alone, but the shitty editing puts it so over the would recommend line that when this comes out, I'm fucking Blu-ray. I'm getting it. This is an instant classic in the fucking get drunk with your buddies and laugh at a shitty movie genre.
This and like is up I said, there. This, I compared it, and it is a lot like those fucking Italian, Giallo type movies. You know, it has the red hair.
Yeah, I mean, just because it sucks.
Yeah, yeah. But those movies bore the shit out of me, and they're usually like fucking 2 hours long. This is 1 hour and 10 minutes.
No, this I think it's less than that, like 60 some minutes.
Okay. Well, fuck yeah, even better. Yeah, and it is on Amazon Prime right now. So if you have that, you can watch it for free, sort of, you know. Stream it. I recommend it. It's worth a watch.
If you like shit like Champagne and Bullets, Miami Connection,
yeah,
in those type of garbage ass movies, it's fucking like two tiers down from that shit.
It's definitely gonna be one of these things that if you're watching it, unless you know your loved ones around you, the people you live with, know the kind of shit you watch, they're gonna walk in when you're watching this and like, what the fuck are you watching?
And it looks real bad. Like, it looks like a fucking 1997 shot-on-video horror movie. Like, it is shocking how terrible this movie looks that came out in 2021. Like, it looks shockingly bad. How something this bad got made and put out this day and age?
Like, how's this on fucking time, you know? But kudos to them for not making it an anthology movie. Anthology movies on Prime.
I just hope Ghost of the fucking Towel Man.
Ghost of the motherfucking Towel Man.
Did you stick around, Tom, for the closing credit scenes?
I did.
Yeah. So what was that movie that they're doing after that? Because it's about the girl that got kidnapped and they found in the fucking. I don't know what you call those, the fucking containers.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, sorry. There is a closing credit scene. And then, you know, coming soon, and it has the name like Abducted or Snatched or something like that.
Snatched.
I hope it. So, yeah. So fucking cue that back up after recording. Go to the credits. Let them play. And I'm guessing we're going to have more of that detective that shot the Towel Man in that fucking amazing action scene.
Holy shit. How did we not talk about the fucking... Holy shit. This might have the greatest fucking somebody getting shot in the head effect, scene, whatever you want to call it. This will definitely be one of the most memorable headshots in a movie you will ever see. It is jaw-droppingly shocking. It took me a couple seconds to laugh at what the fuck happened because I was like, holy shit, did they really put this in a movie?
I wasn't surprised by this point. I was like, okay, all right.
They cut fucking everything to show a giant CG bullet with a back background, and they're just, you know, camera panning around this CG. Love it. That would have been one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed in you, Tom. You were, you know, an auteur filmmaker. You know, that I do not fucking let the credits roll, you know, and fucking give tribute to the little people, you know.
Joe, I'll be honest with you.
You missed out, man. You missed out.
I saw this in the theater. So maybe the copy I got didn't have that. But I will go back onto the Amazons.
All right. I recommend it.
Yeah, no, I highly
and I recommend. Hope you make that fucking movie. And you know what? And I don't do Indiegogo shit. But if they do, I'm going to slip them a buck.
I'll do 20 so I could get the DVD or whatever.
No, I'll watch it on Prime.
Towel Man, 100%. I mean, if you're fucking watching this shit, then it's right up your alley.
Exactly, sure. Yeah. If you put up with this fucking show, Towel Man is something you need to watch.
Towel Man, Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm.
I was doing that shit all weekend. Lori's like, are you saying the tall man? What the fuck is wrong with
no, I'm the fucking tall man.
Good shit. Great movie.
I agree.
Rise of the Scarecrows, too, could learn a lot from this piece of shit.
Yeah. So, Tom, after that, I watched Mother Android. That's a shitty title for a movie. This is about a chick and a dude that are dating and they're going to college, but she's pregnant, man. He knocked her up. Oh, fuck, man. And they go to a party and there's a butler that's just doing everything that everybody says. And you kind of realize, oh, shit, there's android butlers that are fucking taking care of everybody. You know, that's cleaning robots? Up their mess.
Robutlers?
Robutlers. And these robutlers, they just fucking, hey, fuck it. They lose their shit and start killing everybody. The guy and the girl, they escape. And it's maybe, I don't know, a couple of months later, they've been hiding in the woods. And they're trying to get somewhere, I don't know, somewhere. And they heard a rumor that they can go to Korea. And, like, they'll send, like, families to Korea. I don't know. But they got to get through all the killer robots. And there's killer robots in the forest. And I don't know. I'm not describing it too well. But it's okay. It's an okay movie. I didn't hate it. There's shit about it that's real fucking stupid. Like the last quarter of it, this girl is like real fucking hurt. So she's in a wheelchair. And the robots and the humans are fighting. And she's trying to get to this EMP device to knock out all the fucking... Every kind of mechanical device or whatever. And she's just rolling through this whole fucking thing. She's in a wheelchair, just rolling through all this fucking firefight, not getting hit. And after that, yeah, whatever. Fuck this. You know, this is just. But other than that, it's okay. You know, it's 2021 movie. So, you know, it's no Towelhead.
Hey, you fucking racist.
Had I seen it, oh shit, Towel Face Man. Oh, speaking of which, I got to send you a picture of no, I'll tell you about that later. no, when you sent, posted the thing about it, I looked up Towelhead on Amazon's and a bunch of shit popped up. There's a ton of movies named Towelhead, but there's only one, the Towel Man out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, in Pakistan, they call Towelhead cigarettes. Joe is just bringing back a joke from last time.
Yeah, can you imagine being Bob Saget and like all the other kids? Ha ha, you're a cigarette. Ha ha.
Sitting in the ghetto thinking about.
You know, in England, they call a flashlight a torch.
You know what they call torches?
Johnny. So what'd you watch now?
motherfucking tall man.
I watched a movie I forgot to watch in 2021, and that is The Gardener. This was the second of two Bronze movies that came out last year. First one, Death Block, whatever the fuck. That wasn't that good.
The prison movie, yeah.
Yeah. This one is pretty good, Joe. The whole him looking like Bronson thing is starting to wear off. Because now he just looks like alcoholic, bloated Bronson. But now, like, he's trying to be act. He's trying to be act, Joe.
To be act.
He's like, he's trying to act and make things, like, deep and meaningful and shit like that. So,
did he learn any English?
Yeah, he talks a lot in this shit. Okay, so, I mean,
it was dubbed before.
Yeah. No, this is him speaking English and everything. So, for real, good on him for that, because I can't speak two languages.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's still not like, oh, great actor, Mr. Bronzy. It's still a gimmick movie. And if you want to see guy who they're trying to push because he kind of looks like Bronson in an action movie where he fights and shoots people and shit, yeah, check this one out. It won't let you down. I didn't listen to the commentary track. There is a commentary track with Bronzy on it, but I'm waiting on that. I'm going to wait on it because that might be either good or bad. So I'm going to save that for a rainy day and get into the Bronzy files. But I would say this one's a win. It's $13 at Walmart right now. If you can find it online cheaper, do that. Or I'm sure in 3 months it'll be in the $5 bin.
That's so, Tom's table.
No, I'm going to keep this shit.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it does have some fucking funny parts, and there's a lot of blood and shit in this. So, I mean, it's definitely a step up from that last one, which is a shame because the dude who made Mosquito made it. But if you want, like I said, if you want a movie with a guy that kind of looks like Bronson, then this is the movie for you. I just don't know how long this can keep going. I'll keep watching, and it's a Christmas movie, so it'll be in my rotation every year. A Very Bronzy Christmas, it's called. Would recommend. Thank you.
Tom, I went back and rewatched Twilight Zone, the movie. Threw on my DVD that says first time on DVD, so I bought that quite a while back. Yeah, I fucking like this movie still. This shit holds up for me. But my DVD didn't hold up for me. There's a section where it just like cuts out and it skips like pretty far ahead into the next segment. So that DVD's fucked. So I threw it away and maybe I don't know. This movie's had to have been put on Blu-ray by now, right? I don't know. I'll fucking buy it. I'll buy it again. This movie, it holds up, you know. I know like some kids and that Vic Morrow died making it, but hey, man, it's a good movie, and they died for a good cause. I would think, you know, hey, you got to make some sacrifices when you're making art. I dig it.
Who directed this?
It was directed by Steven Spielberg, John Landis, Joe Dante, and Vic Morrow. No, not Vic Morrow. He's the guy that died. George Miller. The guy that did all the Road Warrior movies.
Gotcha. So this is the second movie in a week, or I guess the second movie in a row that you watch that has somebody that signed that Roman Polanski petition.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know too much about that petition. What's going on there?
It was a pro-Roman Polanski petition.
Oh. And I'm guessing that would have been John Landis.
And last week it was all gorilla mode. Yeah.
Hollywood's fucking weird. Hollywood people are even weirder.
Yeah. I watched Strike Commando 2. This is the sequel to the hit film Strike Commando. In this one, none of the original cast is back, but all the same characters are there. So it's pretty fucking confusing at first. This one has something that the last one was missing. And that was like weird, out of place, carnival-esque type music to make everything feel goofy and weird. And blood. There's lots of blood in this one, which was missing from the first one. I had a lot more fun with this one than I did the first one. The first one was fun. Like, there's some funny stuff in it for sure, but this one's just a lot more fucked. And just because it's not the same people and they're playing the same characters, playing them totally different, it's good stuff. But I don't think you have to see the first one to see this one, but it would probably help watching them back to back. But I think this one's better. This one I would highly recommend if you're ever going to severin-films.com. I would add this one to your cart, Strike Commando 2. If you're a Vic Diaz fan, if you even know who that is, he shows up in this one in dual roles, one of which he's wearing a Jerry Curl wig with his mustache colored in a little bit more, so he looks like a different character. So that's nice. But yeah, there's just a lot of good fun dog shit in this one.
Does Severin also offer the first Strike Commando?
They do. They put out Strike Commando 1 and 2.
All right.
So yeah, when they have their fucking sale again, I would say go pick those fucking things up. But out of the two, I would say they're both good, so don't get it wrong. I just like two better because I would say it's more goofy. And it's a weirder movie and the blood's in there. It's weird. It's very fucking weird that they decided to make this instead of just a movie with a different title.
Is it one of those Italian action movies? Because the cover art looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Shot in the Philippines.
All right. Okay.
So yes it is. And usually I don't go for the Italian movies. This was pretty good. It sucks. Would recommend severin-films.com.
All right. Dustin, glad you dug it. I watched The Final Interview. This is the most recent film from Toe Tag Pictures. If you remember, I don't know how many episodes back, I talked about Red Sin Tower, which I liked a whole lot. This one is not like a supernatural flick. I don't even know if you'd call this one a horror flick. This is about a dude, an aging reporter, that goes to interview a serial killer on death row. And during the course of the movie, we learn what a piece of shit the reporter is. And it's just one of these things that's kind of like a stage play. It's all dialogue, you know, it's all back and forth between him and the serial killers and the production crew. They brought in Diane Franklin to be the producer, you know, the showrunner or whatever. I don't know. She's an odd choice, and she's just like mediocre. But the guy playing the reporter is fucking amazing. This guy is an incredible actor, and which is kick ass, but it's a low budget movie. So you probably don't want somebody that good because he makes everybody else look really, really bad. You know, you can tell that everybody else around him is an amateur, and that is like the big flaw in this movie. I mean, I liked it, and this dude carries it. This dude is fucking amazing, but I don't know that I can recommend it to everybody. You know, it's just like you have to like independent flicks, and you have to be willing to forgive some things. And that's the only thing. I think had they got somebody that wasn't as good as this guy, it would have flowed better. You know, everybody would have been on par. It's fucking weird. But how are you not going to take this guy when he's so good? I don't know. You know, I guess it's a weird dilemma that that independent film directors have to face. It is an odd shit to watch, you know, and to think about that. Man, I really liked it, but fuck, he was too good. it's strange. So, don't know if I'd recommend it. it's a hard call on this one, man.
Well, I'll tell you this, Joe, I won't be watching it.
I know, Tom. I know.
And that's all I got.
I also watched Unhinged. Holy shit, did this surprise me. This is with Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe's put on quite a few pounds. And it is about a lady who is very irresponsible. She's going through a divorce. She's always running late for shit. And in traffic, there's a guy that's not going at a red light. So instead of just, you know, wake him up a little. But not going at a green light. She, you know, instead of doing that, she's like, oh man, that's the wrong dude to do it to. You know, this guy, he's going through a divorce too. But he went, broke into his old house. His cheating wife is there with her new lover, beats the fuck out of both of them with a hammer, and sets the place on fire. So he's got that going. So he doesn't give a shit anymore. He follows her and says, hey, you fucked up. I'm going to teach you a lesson. You're going to have a bad day. And just terrorizes her. You know, fucking goes to her house. Her brother's there. Beats the fuck out of him. Sets him on fire. It's violent as shit. It's fucking crazy, this movie. I fucking enjoyed it. It has a lot of those, oh, shit, moments where like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen. And, yeah, just be careful who you're fucking with in traffic unless you're ready, you know, to fuck, you know, to throw down or whatever in case they fucking turn around and like, hey, fuck you for honking at me. You don't know what's going on with people. I think this movie teaches a good lesson.
Would recommend.
Yeah, and this is also on Prime. So you can watch it there. That's where I watch it. And then finally, I finished the series Dope Sick on Hulu. And this is about OxyContin, the drug that was a painkiller that the FDA said, yeah, fuck, this is good. They say it's not addictive. We believe them. This shit was super addictive. Super fucking addictive. It's like, it's an opioid, but it's not addictive. Oh, shit. Kind of like, I don't know, fucking heroin. Yeah, like that level of addiction. And it parallels between like the people that are getting addicted to it, you know, and it was a lot of people in like Kentucky and Virginia mining towns, you know, people that had accidents all the fucking time and are in constant pain. It's like, hey, this shit does work. Oh, wait a minute. I'm hooked. All right. Well, you just need to up the dosage, you know, and it's about how the pharmaceutical companies, they pay the FDA or kind of like fuck around to where they get this approval for that, and how they fucking buy senators and how they buy fucking governors and all that shit. All the shit we know about that happens. But hey, what can you do? They got more money than us. They got a lot more money than us, and they're going to do what the fuck they want to. And eventually
they kind of got shut down on that. But eventually, eventually, billions of dollars later, you know, it's fucking crazy. And Michael Keaton's in it, who I kind of think Michael Keaton's just a mediocre actor. I've never, you know, been blown away by him. He's really good in this. He plays a doctor that is initially prescribing the medication, then he gets hooked on it too. But it's a real subdued role. And
don't get high on your own supply, you yeah. fuck.
It's fucked up. There's some fucked up shit in it, and it's about the world, so it's fucked up.
Would recommend.
Yeah, I would. If you're into episodic television, do it. It's an 8-out-8 episode miniseries, and that's it. You know, they're not going to go anywhere else. They're not going to continue. Oh, the revenge of fucking Purdue Pharma or whatever. You know, that's all I watched, Tom.
Well, it seems like everything we talked about was a would recommend.
Yeah, and this is a rarity for this show. You know.
So let's fix that.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Do you hear that? It sounds like...
Sounds like bees, maybe? Somebody mixing something? Like making margaritas?
It sounds like they're cutting down trees with a chainsaw.
That's what it is. That's it.
So, I remember at the start of this, I said I was excited or looking forward to rewatching the remake. And you said, Tom, I'm looking forward to watching Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe, how about you tell us all about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation? And if this is your first time watching this movie film or not.
All right, Texas Chainsaw, The Next Generation. This is written and directed by Kim Henkel, the guy that wrote the original. And did he have anything to do with the second one? No, right? The third one he did.
I don't think so.
Who fucking knows? Well, anyway, this one, does it reset everything? I think so. I don't fucking know. It's hard to say.
This was supposed to be a sequel to the first one.
Okay. Yeah, because they mentioned it has that crawl at the beginning, like all the other movies have. And he talks about, like, oh, in so-and-so, 1970-something, there was, you know, this people on vacation, terrorized. And then there was two other incidents. It mentions two other incidents in that crawl, and that is supposed to be the second movie and the third movie. And so he's just blowing those movies off as bullshit right there in that crawl. All right. So let's go to the prom, because that's what we're doing here. We got Renee Zellweger going to the prom, and we're introduced to these unlikable characters. All of them are unlikable. I get they're supposed to be high school students because they're in the prom. And fuck, Tom, you know what? I've already forgotten most of it. I was in and out of this movie. I lost interest so quick. And I would just look up and look back down at whatever I was doing, sketching some things, you know, for a project that's coming up. And then I would look up and I was like, so yeah, this is like the same shit, kind of on a shittier level as the first one. They what the fuck did they do that they ended up on? I don't know.
They went to Alfredo's gas station, remember?
Okay.
Do you remember Alfredo?
No, I don't.
He's the gentleman with the milky eye who talked like this motherfucker going around talking like this motherfucker.
Yeah, with the little up. Okay. Yeah.
Naked ladies with a pair of scissors.
Okay.
And then you got the kerchief, a.k.a. the jerkin. And he comes out, hey, can I get a ride and shit? Oh, wait. Was that the third one?
That was the third one.
Hey, I'm thinking of the third one.
See, I'm thinking the same thing, too. It's blurring into the same fucking movie. Because I was just thinking, oh, yeah, and then fucking Ken Faree runs him off the road. No, wait a minute. No.
So,
but they do run off the road.
Yeah, and then they go, what is she, like a realtor or something? Yeah. There's a whore cabin in the middle of the woods.
But that's the police station.
Oh, was it?
They go to the police station, right? Don't they?
Joe, I watch this movie every few years. Like, just, it can't be as bad as I remember. Maybe there'll be something. And I never remember shit.
Yeah.
And when I watch it, I'm just like, yeah, this movie is just such fucking garbage.
I'll give you some takeaways on it. Everybody, when I posted, not everybody, a lot of people, oh, yeah, but Matthew McConaughey, he's great in it. He's not. He's not fucking great in it. He is better than a lot of the people that are in it, for sure. But he's not doing anything special. And his fucking mechanical leg contraption thing that he's got, that's stupid. It serves no purpose. Leatherface is just a pussy in this. But Leatherface does nothing.
He cries a lot.
Cries a lot. Didn't need
and to whines.
Be. Yeah. I was about to say, he's on a speaking spell, but no, that's the third movie again. Yeah, man, this was shit. This was fucking garbage. There's that scene where they have the hammer that just, you know, they pull the string and the hammer falls down, and you know,
I think that's the third one again.
Is it? Because this one, they order pizza. Yeah,
they do. They're not cannibals. They get takeout.
Right. And the whole thing is,
it's an experiment in fear, Joe. Yeah, an
experiment in fear. They were part of the cult.
The Illuminati.
Yeah. And, you know, the guy in the limo picks them up at the end. Oh, fuck, it sucks.
Old pig nips. This man is like 6 to 8 nips with giant rings in them.
Yeah, and I mean, this movie was so easy to tune out of, man. This was just like forgettable. I forgot it. I watched it, what, 4 days ago, 5 days ago? I've forgotten most of it already.
It's shit. But that being said, I watched it. I've watched it a few times all the way through. And that's more than I can say about the last Hellraiser movie. So, as bad as this movie is, it's still better than the worst Hellraiser movie.
I like the last Hellraiser movie.
You like it more than this?
Where they kill the angel? It's like, fuck you. We'll take it
off. Oh, wait. The one before that.
Okay, that, yeah, I get you on that. The Mexico one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one. So, yeah, that's the one I couldn't finish where they had the handy cams.
Yeah.
And shit.
Yeah.
So I will say this one is better than that.
I don't want to watch either one of them ever again.
Well, I might watch this one again when I forget it. I'm like, oh, there can't be that bad. There has to be something there.
You got it on record right now. It's, you know, it's here on the Fancy Dan page forever.
But I'll tell you this, I don't own the fucking Scream Factory release of this shit.
Yeah, yeah. When I looked up, because I did the whole Wikipedia, read about it and everything, it's like, oh yeah, Scream Factory did that. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Some assholes bought that.
Not this one. Mm-mm. Not this time.
And I buy a lot of bullshit I don't need or want. Not this one.
Yeah, somebody put this movie perfectly. It was all this movie is a space filler in a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie collection. That is it.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with that.
So yeah, fuck this movie. Kim Hinkle has a girl's name, and I'll watch it again in 3 years. So next week we'll see how the remake holds up. From what I remember, I would say it's my second favorite one in the series, but we'll see, Joe. We'll see.
Okay, with that too, I'm gonna look up
Butcher Boy. Let's
see if that is still on YouTube or something.
Good luck, because that is also a piece of shit.
Okay.
Can't wait. So you want to pop some pills or?
Yeah, let's do some drugs. Yeah, this goes back to the whole dope sick thing. Pills just aren't good, you know. I guess they have their place, but once you start abusing them. Amazing Spider-Man's number 97. Closing in on that 100 issue.
Can't wait till 111.
This one's got Gil Kane on pencils and Frank Giacogliola. I can't pronounce his name. I don't know what fucking ethnicity it is. But at the bottom of the credits, it lists John Romita as artist extraordinaire. I don't know why. Like, did he fucking do anything with this? Maybe he wrote it. I don't know. This is the continuation of the Green Goblin story that was started last week. And this starts out with a fight scene between Spider-Man's and Green Goblin. And Green Goblin's just kicking his ass. It's pretty good. It's pretty good because, you know, I'm sick of fucking Peter Parker. And he needs this ass kicking that he's getting. And so he does that and then he hides like the little bitch he is. And Goblin flies away, you know, on his little fucking bat. What is it? The Goblin cycle?
Glider.
There you go. After throwing a few of his tricks, you know, like his psychedelic pumpkin and a few other things, his Goblin-a-rang.
It's a Bat-a-rang.
Yeah. Yeah, and then fucking Peter Parker decides that, well, shit, I better go back to the apartment, see what's going on. And, oh, yeah, it turns out that the
fucking drugs are going on.
Yeah, drugs are going on. Harry Osborn is he's a pill popping motherfucker now. And maybe this is why Mary Jane Watson was being such a whore and coming on to Peter last week.
You know? She was strung out. Looking for money to buy more pills.
Yeah, I need to take care of Harry. You know, he needs it.
I need my beanie babies, Petey.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got that going on. And Peter's like, hey, just chill out, man. Maybe she'll be cool now. No, she's not. She's still coming on to Peter. So we got this slick huckster come up to Harry and says, hey, man, you need to try this Oxy. We'll start you out on the 20 milligram. He does. And it's like, holy shit, I'm feeling fucking great. But then he's not feeling great later. Let this be a lesson to you folks. Don't trust these slick hucksters that come up to you with these pills. Because it didn't work out for Harry and it's not going to work out for you.
It might.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
It's your life. I didn't tell you what to do.
Yeah. This is a decent issue. I mean, it's better than most of the ones we've read in the past, you know, 96 issues. Maybe this is a sign of things getting better because Stan Lee is on his way out. He's going to stop writing this shit. Maybe he stopped early and other people were ghostwriting for him. Yeah, it's better. It's definitely an improvement. We'll see. We'll see. What'd you think, Tom?
Yeah, it was another one.
Okay.
That's all I got. It was another one. It was another middle issue. So we'll see what Spider-Man gets into next week.
We'll see. We'll see. Because the story ain't over yet.
No.
He still needs to deal with that Green Goblin guy.
Yeah.
Who sure knows his identity, by the way.
He sure does.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get Doctor Strange to help him.
Maybe. That's his buddy.
Yeah. Fucking prick. Hey, Joe, you like lists?
I do like a list or two once in a while, Tom.
You like magazines?
I do. Turns out I do.
You like pornographic magazines?
I do, but we weren't listing those on this.
No, we weren't.
So this is our top 10 with honorable mention magazines that are not skin mags. Tom, in my honorable mentions, let me put on my spectacles here. I have, just because I know him, Gore Noir from my buddy Mitch Rafter, who puts down a pretty decent little horror magazine. Go check out his site. I don't know what it is, but Gore Noir, just look that up. Noir, Noir, or whatever. It's a weird fucking word, you know. But he was getting fancy with that. Then I have, just because I know him, my buddy Art Ettinger's Ultraviolet magazine. Now, he covers more of the under-the-radar flicks and some of the older stuff. And it's a good magazine. A lot of the articles are very well written. Then I have Asimov's Science Fiction magazine. This was one of those little digest magazines, and it had a bunch of short stories, a bunch of short fiction, science fiction and horror short stories. I think this is the first place I read a Clive Barker story. I'd pick that up whenever I could find it. Then I have The 40in Times. You ever heard of this one, Tom? This is a magazine that's all about the conspiracy theories and aliens and Bigfoots and shit. It's been going on for a long fucking time, and it's just, it's funny. It's a funny magazine, because this shit's all written like this is fucking gospel. And then I have Maxim. When Maxim first appeared in the U.S., it was a decent magazine. It had funny articles, and it would have one good fucking well-written journalistic reporting article, and it was good, and then it got real shitty. But for a while, I'd say for 2 or 3 years, Maxim was a decent decent magazine. Those are my honorable mentions, Tom.
Those are pretty good, Joe, except that last one. I have for my honorable mention Hacker Source. Was a great independent magazine. Sorry, Eve.
God damn it.
No longer around, but it was a great magazine for
independent. She was about to do a big and full issue on me before it went under.
You couldn't even remember to give her a shout out, you fuck.
Yeah, she couldn't even remember to fucking cover me in a magazine. But anyway. Sorry, Eve.
And then I have Gore Noir. It's another great magazine out there focusing on the horror genre. And then I have the WWF Raw magazine. That was the more edgy, more adult-oriented WWF magazine. And then I have Easy Rider, that motorcycle magazine. While it wasn't a skin magazine, there were tits in it.
Did you really check that magazine out? Is that one?
Yeah, my buddy's dad had them all over the house. All
right.
This was like when I was 8.
Yeah, you would think I would have Low Rider magazine on my list, but I don't.
And then I have everybody's favorite zine, Burning Angels. You remember that one, Joe?
No. I don't. Tell me about this.
This was some zine this autistic gentleman put out.
Oh, but you never had those, did you?
No, it was just, you know, a joke one.
Okay.
Hoping you'd remember what the fuck it was and go, ha ha, oh, you. Took a minute, but we got there.
Yeah.
All right. Motherfucking tall man wants to know your number 10.
The ghetto everybody has a boogeyman, but the ghetto has a tall man. Number 10. I have Starlog magazine. The first magazine I read that was all about science fiction. When I think back on it now, it was more pictures and articles. But I liked it back then during the day. I still have a few issues. I should probably sell off. I don't know if anybody would buy them. We'll see.
My number 10 isn't a specific magazine. It's more of a general thing that was put out that you don't see anymore, because magazines you really don't see anymore. And that was the magazines put out to like promote or coincide with a movie.
A movie?
There'd be like all those extra pictures in there and just a whole bunch of nothing, because they didn't want to spoil anything about the movie because they didn't know if it was going to come out before.
I've got a bunch of those Star Trek ones for Star Trek, the motion picture. Mm-hmm. Star Trek 2, The Wrath of Khan, you know. Good stuff. Them for all the big, like Batman, fucking Jurassic Park, you know. I don't know if you could name a few, right?
Nah, you got them all.
Towel Man.
You printed that shit on towels.
It was a very expensive magazine. Number 9.
At number 9, and this is showing what a fucking nerd I am, this one's called Auto Deal Quarterly. This was a magazine for the game Car Wars, which was a role-playing game, sort of. One of the only role-playing games I played, and this one would have, like, different little arenas you could play or different fucking articles on the game. It was just for big fucking nerds. I had about 2 friends that I played this game with. Nobody else ever fucking heard of it. So, you know, fuck.
My number 9 is a magazine that didn't last so long, but it was a good one, and it was called Horror Show. I came out in maybe the mid-2000s, I want to say. And, yeah, that seems about right, maybe mid-late-2000s. And it was about mask making and independent mask makers and stuff like that.
You still have any of these?
I think I do.
Cool.
I think I do, Joe. Would you like to buy them?
Yeah, I'd like to check them out, though, the next time I go visit you or whatever.
I'll look for them.
All right.
I'll look for them. Because a lot of my magazines have just turned into like stacks of reference that just get covered in dust and paint.
Yeah.
I'll look for them.
Okay. At number 8, I have Marvel's Crazy Magazine. Now, Mad had some cool shit like Spy versus Spy and the little fucking Sergio Arajones stuff at the bottom and the Aljafi. But Mad was really a fucking
Aljafi.
Jaffe, whatever his name was. But Mad was just a parody magazine. And I don't fucking like parody. Parody is just fucking cheap and fucking stupid and lazy to me. Crazy had some cool shit, and it had some superhero related shit in there. So I dug that out of all those fucking humor magazines like Mad and Cracked and never read National Lampoon, but I know that had tits in it. But so that gets some points, but it's not on my list. But I did dig Crazy.
That's just because you're a true believer.
Yeah. Obnoxio the Clown, baby.
Mm. Love that one where he got into it with the X-Men.
Oh, yeah, I have that one. And really, because you're down with the clown, you know, and this yes, is where this is where that all started. Mm-hmm. You know, if it wasn't for Marvel, there'd be no Juggalos.
Mm-mm. My number eight is the WWF magazine. I had a subscription for this one for, I think, about 2 years. I might still have a couple issues, or they might have sold on eBay. I am not sure. But yeah, it was all right. So a lot of this is from childhood because right. I don't read magazines because there aren't any anymore. And there's the internet.
Yeah. Did you ever read any other wrestling magazines if they're not on your list already?
Yeah, I did. There was like World of Wrestling. Yeah. I remember that. Wow.
Yeah, I would pick up the cheap one, Pro Wrestling Magazine, that was done on like pulp newspaper, like the Savage Sword of Conan, like that kind of paper. All the articles were written on that kind of shit.
Printed.
Yeah.
Because that would be a little much to write
right.
all that out for every copy.
Yeah, not glossy. There's no. There might have been a poster in the middle.
If you were lucky, unfortunately, it would be of Lex Luger.
Or Michael Hayes or somebody like that, you know? All right. At number seven, I have Heavy Metal Magazine. You know, this had comics and anthologized comics from France. Most of them were for France. There was some shit from Spain in there, and I would pick this up wherever I could find it. So I never had a whole fucking storyline. It's just, oh, hey, I got this one from fall 87. Oh, here's this one from August 92. You know, so it was just, you know, but a lot of that art was just badass, and it's just, you know, looking at that shit back then, I was like, why don't they do this in fucking mainstream comics? Why don't they hire these fuckers to come and do art for fucking, what's this piece of shit comic I'm reading right now? The Champions. The Champions. This, you know, bullshit. With fucking Hercules and fucking Ghost Rider and the Angel. Yeah, try to sell it with some good art. But no, I don't know. Heavy Metal Magazine.
It sucks now
because this Ninja Turtle guy bought it, and it's just been shit ever since.
Number seven.
Yeah.
I have GamePro. My favorite thing about GamePro was going to the back and looking at all the art that was submitted by readers. That was my favorite part of your magazine, you fucks.
Oh, and most of that art was just garbage.
Yeah, it's just like little kids sketch drawing Metroid or whatever. Metroid, the fuck. Yeah, exactly.
So many Metroid pictures.
But I still liked it. What? So yeah, old GamePro. There you go, you fuck. Number six.
At number six, I have Twilight Zone Magazine. This was another magazine that was devoted to printing short stories. And this this fucking introduced me to a lot of different horror authors. And it's people that I still follow now, like fucking like Brian Lumley. And they had, well, Stephen King was already big, but
John Schrau or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, David Shaw.
There you go.
Yeah. Shit was good. I don't know if there's a market for these anymore, but I'm going to find out. I don't need them.
Number six, I have a magazine that was put out by Starlog, and that is Fangoria.
I've heard of that one.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's good stuff for the pictures at the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's I don't care.
Yeah. I'll get to that in a minute. I'll talk to you about that in length in just a little bit.
Okay. Number five.
And number five, I have Electronic Gaming Monthly. Yeah. This was the magazine that covered all the consoles and the PC games. And that was mainly why I'd read it, because I would play a lot of PC games. And
that's politically correct for you.
Politically correct games are the only ones I'm going to play. You know, if there's a hint of any kind of offensiveness, I'm not going to play your game. But PC games, I'm all about.
My number four, I'm sure, is going to be your number one. And this is Wizard, the world's comic magazine, or whatever the fuck it was called.
Let me guess. You like this.
My favorite part of this magazine. No, I like the Toy Fair section, but we'll get to that.
Okay. Wizard, it was like People Magazine for comics. It was just like really, really shitty writing, really, you know. And it really fucked up the market, because every comic shop would follow that fucking price guide. And that price guide was so full of shit. You know, the Wizard top 10. So all of a sudden, the comic shops would fucking put a Wizard top 10 fucking board. Fucking God damn, that, what a shitty time for the fucking market. And it was all bullshit books. Lady Death, you know, first appearance of Fitzroy in this.
Don't forget about Terror Inc. issue 3.
Terror Inc. 3. Yeah, it was just cool fucking shit, man.
But seriously, though, I just loved going to the back and looking at all the art that was submitted by readers.
Wizard really did hurt the fucking market. It did. And in ways, I mean, people don't even fucking realize. People were paying so much for shit books and... fuck.
Number three.
My number four.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is Fangoria. And it's one of these books that was like, that was the only horror book out at the time. So that was the thing to pick up. But yeah, it was a book with pictures. And it introduced me to a lot of films I would have not known about at the time. You know, and I lived in a fucking small town, so it was only when we, you know, go into Corpus and we go into fucking Walden Books, you know, which no longer exist. Just
I do know.
Yeah. And I would pick that up and, you know, oh, I gotta fucking find this movie at the video store or whatever. So it introduced me a lot of shit, but yeah, it was just a bunch of shit articles and a lot of ads. You know, overall, it wasn't a good magazine ever, I don't think, but it did, you know, introduce me to shit, so it gets number four status.
My number four was Wizard, but my number five was Cracked. That was my humor magazine. I wasn't a Mad fan. I was a Cracked guy, because that was a little more crude and gross.
So Cracked didn't do like the parodies so much that like Mad did, right?
I mean, they did.
Okay.
It was pretty more like a grosser, edgier Mad.
Yeah. I know that like they had a lot of John Severin and Marie Severin doing the art, who were big DC artists at the time. And they would do a lot of the war books for even for Marvel. So they had a lot of comic book talent that would work for them. But man, I read a lot of those, but I can't remember any of them. You know?
You remember the one with the insane clown posse? That was one of my favorites.
No, I don't. I didn't even know Cracked was around that long to have, you know, had something with them.
They were.
Hmm.
They might still be going to this day, but I don't fucking know.
Do you still have that issue?
I might. No, I probably sold it. I sold all my fucking ICP shit years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Crack don't buy itself, Joe.
That's true. That's true.
Number three.
My number three is Hit Parader. This is the heavy metal magazine. I mean, there was some other ones. There was Kerrang! And there was a Circus magazine. But Hit Parader was the one that I could find at the fucking grocery store, newsstand or whatever. Mainly the grocery store. Same thing. This was not a magazine that you could go back and read and think, oh shit, that's a great article. Nah, it was just fluff, and it was helping to sell albums and pictures. A lot of pictures
from the pit.
A lot of posters. You know, if you want to hang a picture of fucking Wing or what's his name?
Wingshauser.
The dude from Winger, Wing Kipper. I don't fucking know.
Kip, you know, Winger.
Yeah, Kip Winger. There you go. Then you could hang that on your fucking wall. If you want a little fucking mini poster of Loudness, there you go. But yeah, that was the thing at the time. Hey, fucking Hit Parader. Yeah. I still have the ones with Dio on the cover. Everything else is gone.
Sad.
End of an era.
Number three, I got a wizard.
Got going on the on the fucking.
Don't mind the bots, Joe. My number three is a wizard production. Talked about a little earlier. That's Toy Fair. This is could make a fucking magazine like we do about the comics for the toys. And they did. And I always liked going to the back of the magazine and seeing pictures of toys people drew. No, that one, they had like custom ones with like kit bash shits and repaints and stuff. So that was
cool. Toy Fair always had this thing before Robot Chicken came out.
They did. It was like a little one page.
Yeah. And they did a whole issue collecting all that shit. And that shit was good. That shit was funny. But yeah, Robot Chicken stole their fucking gimmick.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have exclusive fixtures. Fucking Christ. Figures too. Mail-aways that you can only get from there.
So yeah, you said like that you had drawings, but no, it was the figures that people put together, right?
Yeah, like kit bashed or repaints and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I forgot about that, man. That was pretty decent. But again, that fucking price guide.
It just killed the figure market.
No, it didn't. It may have because there really wasn't a figure market at that point.
Well, yeah, there was.
Was there?
Yeah, with children. Kids like figures because, you know, they're toys. They're meant for children.
Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be.
Well, I mean, not so now today they're collectible. So
right. Don't open that kid. My number two is the Comics Journal.
Mm.
This was the magazine that really went into in-depth interviews with a lot of the comic creators. And I still have a lot of these and I would sell them But ain't nobody gonna buy them. Nobody gives a shit about the fucking behind the scenes people. I might be able to sell my Alan Moore issue, but that's about fucking it. But this, it had really good articles and interviews about comics, about how comics are made, about how the whole fucking industry works. And I don't even know if this shit's still going on. It may come out maybe once a year now, but back then it was a fucking badass magazine to me. It's my number two.
What a number two it is. Mm-hmm. My number two is Kit Builder Magazine. I haven't put together many model kits in my day, or any, to be fair. But that doesn't mean you can't take the paints that they're doing in that magazine and apply it to other things. So that's what I did. A lot of my painting was just looking at pictures and shit in Kit Builder Magazine. And another one that we'll get to.
Yeah, I remember that magazine. That magazine was, it was cool, but I never bought it. It was one of those that I would flip through.
Yeah. And I liked it because you would go to it and they'd have all the different kits that people drew.
At number one, I have Rue Morgue Magazine because it was the magazine that covered everything in horror. It wasn't just a fucking movie magazine. They would cover art. They would cover books. They would cover music. For several years, I would go to fucking... shit, I don't even remember what the name of this bookstore is because I don't go to it anymore, but it's still around. And they carried like a shitload of magazines. What the fuck's it called?
Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble, yeah. So I knew exactly when this fucking magazine was coming out, and I would go and buy it and go home and fucking read it. And it's the first, you know, the one of the only magazines that I would get home and just read fucking from cover to cover and make note of, oh, okay, I need to check out this book, or maybe I need to fucking give this album a listen, you know, fucking go on whatever fucking music downloading site was around at the time and just try to steal that music and fucking listen to it and see if it was worth the shit. But eventually the magazine started to lose its quality and fucking raise its price. And
Canadians.
And I think that's the problem with a lot of the fucking magazines now. Is there, what, 15?
No, that's not true, because they had like a special Godzilla magazine come out when Kong and Godzilla did. But
yeah, I haven't picked up Rue Morgue in a fucking long time. You know, I did a shirt for them at one Texas Frightmare weekend, but yeah, I mean, the pricing on magazines in general just got out of hand, and I don't pick up anything anymore. I mean, I don't even pick up comic books in single issues because they're fucking expensive. It's a I don't know how fucking magazines survive, Tom.
I don't think they have, Joe. I don't think they have.
So what's your number one?
My number one is Amazing Figure Modeler. This is another magazine about kit building and painting and shit. And again, even though I didn't build many kits, that doesn't mean you can't take those painting techniques and apply them to something else. And every so often in that one, they'd have like little sculpting things, step-by-step pictures of sculpting and stuff like that. And it's just good stuff. Both of those are just good to look and see at other people's monsters and get ideas, just look at anatomy and shit. So they were good. They were a good magazine, and I like them. I have lots.
You said you didn't do many kits. Which kits did you do, if you can remember any of them?
None.
No?
I remember getting those fucking Marvel ones.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I got two of them, and I opened the Venom one up first, and it was just all these pieces unpainted. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And I got all pissed. So my parents made sure to take that other one from me and return it before I opened it. And I got a Creature from the Black Lagoon model kit that's been sitting in the closet for 3-4 years now. Okay. I don't have time to do shit but work. Yeah. I'd like to, and I mean just sculpting that small. It's just kind of not for me. I like bigger stuff, and so it is what it is.
Yeah.
So there's our magazines.
Well, I kind of dug this list. It was a fucking stroll down memory lane, you know. You got me thinking about a lot of shit I hadn't thought of or whatever, and had me thinking like, whoa, why the fuck did I buy that shit? But next week, what are we doing, Tom?
Probably nothing good. Yeah, it's not going to be anything good. Let's do our favorite movies where the killer wears a mask.
Can they wear a towel?
That's a mask. She's using the towel as a mask. So, if I don't think of something better by then we will... We'll be back with that.
All right, man.
Okay. I'm wrapping long stuffs up in the shop. I'll have the last of the Christmas Forever Faces done tomorrow. Hopefully ship them out Tuesday. And then I got some sculpting to do this week. If you want to go to DWN Productions and buy something, now would be the time. If not, well, you can probably just go fuck yourself then. Joe?
Hey, I've got a busy week, but if you want to go to the site and order something, I'm not going to fucking complain. Posted a picture of that Aliens shirt that I did, and it got a fucking good response. But you know what? If I could get half as many sales as I've got likes on that shit, that would be fucking nice. You know, so far, I think there was like 130 likes on that. Got one sale. So that's a start.
Yeah, that's like usually what people say is for like every 100 interactions, you'll get one sale.
So,
I mean, you're doing the what's predicted.
Right. Hey, but fuck it. Hey, yeah. If you don't want to buy it, don't fucking buy it. You know, but the fuck, you know, fuck. Anyway, go watch The Towel, man. Go watch Dope Sick. Go watch a lot of the shit we talked about. Go through those magazines, see what you got, and burn it.
That's what I should have done. Since I still have a few of these, I'm just so fucking tired today. I should have just got a stack and just held magazines and shit up since we're on here, but whatever. You got Google, you fucks.
Right. Check it out. Check out all this shit. We're doing this for a reason. I don't know why the fuck we do this, to be honest.
Narcissism. Mm-hmm. So hopefully next week I'll think of a better list than movies where people wear masks or whatever the fuck. But if not, stay tuned for that and Arlie Ermey pretending he's a cop.
Oh, that one. So. Fuck. Saw that in the theater. Okay.
All right. So, everybody, enjoy your week. Or don't. Fuck it. Boy gob.